Welcome to Advice from a Friend.
I'm Emma.
And I'm Jonathan.
And we're your hosts. And on this podcast, we're going to give advice,
talk about the real issues,
and share our thoughts. Books and pens. I can tell that we are going to be friends. Hello and welcome to our segment on Napoleon's love letters. Most people know of Napoleon as the Emperor of France, the creator of the continental system and the powerful general. But in his love life, he was just as hapless as the rest of us. Here we are, two 21st century teenagers, to give him a bit of advice. Moi, je t'offrirai des perles de pluie venues de pays. Today's letter was written on July 17th, 1796 in Verona. I write you, my beloved one, very often, and you write very little. You are wicked and naughty, very naughty, as much as you are fickle. It is unfaithful, so, to deceive a poor husband, a tender lover. Ought he to lose all his enjoyments, because he is so far away, borne down with toil, fatigue, and hardship? Without his Josephine, without the assurance of her love, what is left to him upon earth? What can he do? We had yesterday a very bloody affair. The enemy has lost many men and has been completely beaten. We have taken the whole country around Mantua. Adieu, adorable Josephine. One of these nights your door will open with a great noise as a jealous person and you will find me on your arms. 1,000 loving kisses, Bonaparte.
I think he talks about a few things that I feel like the people of our generation can relate to a lot. He talks about writing her and she just not writing him back. And that's one of the things that I really hate, you know, when you open up to somebody or you just send messages, like deep messages that you normally, that you just go out on a limb to send. And then the person either just doesn't respond, they act like they haven't read your message, or they just respond something little like, okay, or like, LOL. I hate the LOL text messages. If you ever send me LOL, I don't know. I don't think we can be friends. If you just send me LOL or just something like,
yeah,
LOL, haha. Don't send no LOL, ha-has. No.
Can't deal with yeah. These. Well, it is funny the psychological state a person can be plunged in by responses, texting especially. I know that a few years ago, I remember when Red Receipts first started,
mm-hmm.
you know, they were first created and they first got on iPhones. Everyone went around turning all their red receipts off because, oh, they couldn't know. You know, no one could have that. That would be awful if they knew that I read.
I leave mine on.
I do too, yeah. Because, it was so funny. Yeah. I texted this one guy I'd never met. It was just a new friend I made from outside of school. And I realized he had red receipts on. And it was so reassuring that I could see when someone looked at it and I knew mm-hmm. that, oh, they're not just snubbing me. It's you know, they're yeah. probably busy. They probably, you know, fell asleep. They probably, you know, like, I don't know. They yeah. probably are in class. They probably, I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely feel that way too. I'd rather for someone to let me know that they read my message and just isn't going to respond than for them to have the read receipts off and I'm just guessing, well, like, maybe they're busy. Maybe they're just snubbing me. But, like, if it just goes on and you haven't responded for, like, a week and you're the one who wanted me to talk, and you just don't respond, that's just like Napoleon is sending, he's opening up to her, and he's putting everything he has into it to try yeah. to keep this going. And it's definitely hard for him, you could tell by the things that he's saying. And for her just to, like, not respond or to just send him a little bit, it's just, like, end it. Don't be that way. It's either you're you're committed or you're, it's either you're down or you're not. Like, don't be halfway in between.
That leads me to another thought. What do you, do you think it's possible to talk too much in a relationship?
Yeah. It's definitely good not to talk every day, because once you start doing that, you kind of start getting annoyed. And then it's kind of like being clingy. And you don't have to talk to someone every day for them to know that you have feelings for them. Like, you know what I mean? You don't have to.
Yeah. I definitely know, like, in my experience, it's people form habits of doing certain things a certain way. And if talking becomes a habit, first of all, it's not as meaningful, because the point is not that, I'm talking to you because I always talk to you. Yeah. The point is, like, I'm talking to you because I want to talk to you. Mm-hmm. And when that is lost, I think it's not even worth it anymore. And the second point is, I think it's possible to run out of things to talk about and then have the inability to have the conversation of, I just don't have anything to talk to you about right now. Yeah. Let's not talk. It's, we always talk. Like,
I hate when you really want to talk to someone, but there's just, like, nothing to talk about. That's the worst. It's the worst, because you really want to be there. You really want to communicate and connect, but it's just nothing to talk about.
Do you think technology has started to fix this problem? I want to hear your thoughts. I have sort of thoughts on this.
Repeat it again.
Do you think technology has improved our ability to deal with the amount we want to talk to people? I want to hear your thoughts.
Like, real life talk or just like?
Just communicate.
I feel like it's definitely helped a lot. Because there's so many ways you could talk to someone now. Like, you can message someone, or you can, like, comment on someone's post. There's so many ways to connect to people now.
So here's what I think. I think that, actually, Snapchat helps fix that problem of wanting to talk to someone without talking.
Yeah.
Because you don't have anything to talk about.
It's easier to Snapchat than it is to text, for sure. So it's easier for me to just go on Snapchat, click through all the photos, and just, like, double click, and then send something back. But I feel like with me, I'm just insatiable. I'm just so insatiable that I can't take Snapchat all the time. I'd rather just not talk than just send pictures back and forth. Especially if I'm sending, like, if I'm typing something on the Snapchat, and then you just send a picture back. Like, I just hate that. It just makes me really angry. And I'd rather just not talk, because it's not like you're doing it on purpose, because some people just get on Snapchat and they just Snapchat, like, that's what they do.
Yeah.
It's not like you're doing it on purpose. It's just, that's what you're so accustomed to doing. But I really hate it, and I'd rather just not talk or just talk in person than to just Snapchat all the time. But it definitely helps. Like, I'm not knocking it, because sometimes I don't text people back a lot unless I want to talk to you. But I'll Snapchat you back, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like, it's just easier.
Yeah. Wait, so you don't text people back, but you get mad when people don't text you back.
Yeah, exactly. I'll pick and choose.
Okay, all right.
But I hate when people don't text me back. And if someone's like, John, like, you don't text me back, and, like, I know, like, I don't text them back or something. It's not like I'm doing it on purpose. It's just like, I'm busy sometimes, or, you know, like, I'll eventually get around to it. It's not like I forgot about you, because if you're my friend, you're always going to be my friend regardless.
Yeah.
But it's just like, people be like, John, like, you never text me back, or, like, you broke our streak, and I always blame it on them. That's just the way to go. Like, no, like, you don't Snapchat me back. Like, you broke our streak. It wasn't me.
But nobody listen to him if you're texting John, because he doesn't like it.
If you're texting me, make sure you text me back on time. Like, I'm not talking about no an hour, none of that. And don't fall asleep when we're texting, because if I'm texting you something deep and you fall asleep, you better respond as soon as you wake up, or we're going to fight.
Okay. I think another issue raised by this, I almost said text, raised by this letter is, in this, Napoleon is 100% jealous. I mean,
jealousy.
In past letters, he talked about, I miss you so much. I wish we could be together. I wish I could see you more. But in this letter, he is unmistakably jealous. He says she's wicked and naughty and fickle. And then he also says, it is unfaithful so to deceive a poor husband, which to me seems to indicate that he thinks she's having an affair. However, I don't know if he can prove it necessarily. Maybe he's heard rumors, maybe he's talked to friends of his, but he definitely has an inkling. And then he says, one of these nights your door will open with a great noise as a jealous person and you'll find me on your arms. He's almost threatening to come back to end the whatever affair she's having or to catch her in the act. He's really acting very suspicious, and then the last line was definitely a threat. So, on that topic, what do you think about jealousy? What do you think the best response for jealousy is?
I don't know. I'm very jealous. I get jealous about a lot of things. And it's something, like, I try to say, like, I'm a fix. Like, I'm trying to fix it. But it's hard to try to change that jealousy. Even if it's nothing there to think about, like, you're just always going to make something up because that's just how jealous people work. How hard is it to be in a relationship with someone who's jealous?
Really hard. Yeah. Personal experience, really hard. Yeah. I think, on the one hand, I'm reading that and I think, oh gosh, Napoleon's jealousy is really terrible. But I also know that, Josephine was cheating on him. I mean, she was having an affair. It's like historical fact. Like, I think if someone you're in a relationship with or married to or is your significant other, if that person is actually, in fact, being unfaithful, then I think that you have a right to be jealous or to feel negative feelings about that because, like, come on. But at the same time, I know that there are certain types of jealousy that are just, at a certain point, it crosses the line. It's just irrational and hard to be around. Like, for instance, I don't know, if you stay jealous after they say, they've sufficiently proved to you that, like, there's nothing going on. That's, like, not good. Additionally, I think it's perfectly fine to be, not perfectly fine. It's okay to be jealous in the present moment, kind of, if there's, there's proof. Like, they aren't talking to you. They are talking to this other person a lot more. You've heard something from a friend. You've heard a rumor. Like, once you start to pick, put the pieces together, I think it's reasonable to be jealous. But say getting into a relationship with someone and then being jealous of the last relationship they were in. I think that's just, like, crazy. Like, okay, sure, if they're still at a certain point, like, this is just so hard because there's so much gray area. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that if someone talks about their ex, then that's a problem.
I feel like with jealousy, though, you always, even if it's nothing there, like, you just always think it's something there. Just, I don't know. I just feel like you always suspect things. You just make up things to suspect.
Yeah.
Because you want it that way.
Wait, sorry. Remind me of your original question that you asked.
Is it hard to be in a relationship with someone who's jealous?
Oh, yeah, sorry. You know what? That is, yeah, I think when you, I think we've been considering the perspective of a jealous person a lot. Like, what you should do, how you should feel as a jealous person. Like, obviously, trust is important. But I think as someone who's, like, suspected of jealousy, that's like, or sorry, not
yeah,
suspected
the of jealousy, other person.
As someone who's, I don't know, the object of jealousy, that person has, an important perspective, too. And I think that being in a relationship with someone who either doesn't trust you or almost, like, disdains you, I think there's a lot of...
Do you think that pushes them away?
100%. 100%. Yeah. I think particularly being jealous of an ex, it's like that someone had. Even if, the person doesn't really talk about it, doesn't talk about it in an insane way, but doesn't, hide it, right? If someone manages to find the happy medium of, like, talking about an ex and then someone's, like, jealous, then it makes you think, okay, like, do you expect me to have lived my entire life from birth until this very moment for you so that you can be happy? it gets to a point where it's ridiculous. Or being jealous of, like, a friend, right, mm-hmm. that the person has. It makes them feel like they're expected to end their friendships and disconnect from their life and their social groups for the person.
Yeah, I thought about this a lot yesterday. It's kind of unfair for the other person. Like, I'm very jealous, but it's unfair for me. It's unfair for me to be jealous, and from the perspective of the other person, because if they're telling me that their feelings and they tell me it all the time, like why do I always question it? Like why do jealous people always question it when it's there? Like the proof is there. Like they tell you like blah 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 blah. Like their feelings are strong. Like why do we always suspect something that's not there?
I think maybe part of it has to do with being uncomfortable with the way relationships change over time.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they do. There are different points at which people change their behavior. And additionally, I think it's maybe, like, there's a little bit of, like, insecurity in it.
I was thinking about it a lot. Just jealousy is just being afraid that you actually might be something that someone is looking for, and that's scary in itself, and it brings up a lot of insecurities. Well, like, what if I'm not good enough, or like, what if she won't be good enough, or he won't be good enough? It's a lot to think about.
Yeah. Seriously. So, like, let's think about a hypothetical here. Mm-hmm. What if you were in a relationship with someone and they were not texting you back a lot. Mm-hmm. You didn't talk for a while. And you know that they had a really close friend that they spent a lot of time with, and you would see them together and they would sort of be laughing or talking constantly. Would that, and I mean, you felt jealous. Do you think you would feel jealous rightly? What do you think someone should do in that
situation?
Super
jealous. I'd be super jealous.
What do you think someone should do in that situation?
Try to talk about it, but like it's easy for me to be like, talk about it, but you probably won't, because you don't want to upset the other person. You know what I mean? Because a lot of times when you start, people don't like when other people are jealous. It ruins things a lot. Like I was, like, and it's funny because, like, the one relationship that I was in, she was jealous of my friends, and it's just like, come on now, like. For real, like, those are my friends. Now, she didn't know them, so she had a right, but, like, those are my friends who I knew for a long time. And I'm sitting up here, and when I get jealous, I'm like, I'm being the same person that I don't like. It's always just hard situations.
Yeah.
All around, hard situations. I don't know. That's hard. You definitely should talk about it. And if it makes the other person upset to where the point they don't want to do it anymore, then they shouldn't be in your life. Just move on. Try your best to move on.
Yeah. But,
I mean, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. If not, everybody has someone out there in the world that's just waiting for them to text them back or something. The person that you're not texting back is the one that's for you, but you are too busy wrapped up into other people who are just, you're too focused on the wrong things, basically. So text that person back.
Yeah, overall message from Jonathan. Text me back.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's pretty easy to conclude for today that poor Napoleon, he was in a bad situation.
Yeah, Napoleon, you have every right to be jealous because you're in a faraway place and there's a lot of people spending time with the person that you love.
Yeah.
So you have a right to be jealous. She should respond to you a little bit more. But hey, we're all going to die someday, so this doesn't really matter. All of this doesn't matter.
Oh, man. So I guess in this case, long distance did not work for their relationship. Like, it's a really helpful thing to say, oh, well, everything happens for a reason, and it's mm-hmm. all going to work out. But I think that it's also I feel like there's so much doubt about that for me that I it's easy to wonder, okay, well, what if none of this happened for a reason and there's no point? Actually, I think that maybe that's, I don't know what I believe exactly, but that might be a little bit closer to it. I think there's no point, there's just...
I feel like everything happens for a reason, but not necessarily because, like, I don't know, it's supposed to fit into this, like, grand scheme of things, like, something, like, a bigger plan or something like that. Yeah. I just feel like some people are destined to do things in everything. Well, it kind of does, the way I'm talking, like, it kind of seems like it's a big plan.
I kind of get it. You know what I think it is? I think, I get what you're saying. But I will not deny the fact that sometimes perspective is necessary to see the true nature of things. Something that seems really bad at the time can actually end up being good, mm-hmm. right? Like, I couldn't see you, canceled plans, sorry, but, you know, the roads were really slick, and mm-hmm. I could have, you know, gotten a car crash driving to see you. Or, like, you can't ever know the bad things that would have happened if something had happened. Yeah. You can't ever know the good things that happen as a consequence of a bad thing. I think consequences are really interesting, and they make the possibility, they create the possibility that something really unfortunate can have a good ending.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I think that's all for today. Mm-hmm. Tune into our next segment. Laisse-moi devenir l'ombre de ton ombre, l'ombre de ta main, l'ombre de ton chien. Ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas. Hello, and welcome back to our segment on music. So let's welcome our guest, mm-hmm. Elias Lindgren. Thanks for being here.
Mm-hmm. Glad to be here.
Awesome. Okay, so we're going to start off by going around and sharing what we've been listening to recently, starting with Jonathan. Oh,
I know everybody listens to Migos, of course.
Sorry, what's that?
Migos is a...
I've heard of them.
Yeah, it's a group. It's this is gonna be a rough one. Migos. Oh my gosh, y'all heard of Migos?
Wait, okay, play me a clip and I'll put it in the podcast.
You ever heard of them, but I haven't heard them.
You ever heard like Pick Up the Phone, Baby?
Ooh. No.
No? What? I don't even know a Migos song you would know.
I literally don't know a single one. No. Pretend like you're talking to someone who just rose from the dead from 50 years ago.
All right, so Migos is a group of three people. Migos makes hype music. Migos is the music you listen to and you want to just be like, ooh, like, just want to move your head to. Like, that's the only way I could explain it. It's, like, not super lyrical, but it's just, like, I don't know, just fun music.
Cool.
I've been listening to that. I have been listening to some old Kanye.
How old?
Like, 808s and Heartbreaks.
Oh, yeah.
Greatness. I'm listening to...
I think I like that one, but I don't know.
Francis in the Light. That's a new favorite of mine now. And I've been listening to this new artist called Brian Faiyaz, who he's the singer. And he kind of makes, like, old type of... His style is, like, old style, like Motown-ish. And it's cool to listen to.
Yeah.
Because he's, like, a newer artist, like, from our generation, making, like, older music. And it sounds good. And his voice really helps him out a lot.
That's awesome. All right. So, Elias, what do you have?
So... Over the winter as a whole, I guess the albums I've listened to a lot, like newly discovered albums that I, like, I don't know what I say I listen to most, because there are certain things that I listen to pretty consistently, mm-hmm. like always, but I recently discovered a couple albums that I like. Death Consciousness by Have a Nice Life is something I've listened to a lot, especially while I'm driving. It's good driving music, and I got my license kind of recently, mm-hmm. so it's... I've actually, since I got my license, I've really enjoyed listening to music in the car. It never occurred to me what a private space a car is when you're all alone in it. Because I'd always been with someone else in the car before, someone else driving me, or been in the passenger seat, you know, while I had my permit. It is kind of cool to have this kind of isolated space, just you and your thoughts kind of, and the place of music.
So what about like music for focus?
I don't really listen to music while I do homework anymore. I did a lot last year, and I really struggled to find something that worked well for it. I eventually settled on this, like, I mostly listen to ambient music when I did homework, ultimately, yeah. Like Brian Eno, especially.
Well, the type of music I listen to if I'm, like, writing something, I'm usually just going to listen to, you know, stuff without words, just kind of instrumental.
Right. I think that's a lot better.
Yeah, stuff that's going to, like, that's soothing, helps you relax, and to focus.
I think vocals are really distracting.
Yeah.
Hearing human voice.
Because you're more focused on what they're trying to say and the message that they're trying to get across. You don't really pay attention to anything else.
Yeah.
I bet that's also, like, evolutionary. Like, we're more attuned to human voice than anything else. That's why when you hear, like, animals screeching, we're like, oh, that's a baby crying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, I interrupted you halfway through your list.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. So I guess over the winter, I've been listening to, Have a Nice Life. I mean, Death Consciousness by Have a Nice Life a lot.
Is that the one with Murat?
Yeah. The cover is a cropped version of the painting, The Death of Murat. Murat or Murat?
Murat.
Okay.
I think I said Murat just now, but it's Murat.
Yeah, it's a cool album. And also, The Glow Part 2 by The Microphones, which is an album that I listen to a lot. I was reading this book, Here I Am, by Jonathan Safran Foer, and I just kind of had that album on loop while I was reading it. And I kind of, created an association between those a lot. More recently, over the last couple days, I've been listening to the album Change by The Dismemberment Plan.
Your music sounds so cheery, Elias.
I know. Well, actually, I learned this very recently. I was reading about them on Wikipedia, and I learned it's a very menacing sounding band name, but they got it from the movie Groundhog Day, because there's that one dude who's the insurance salesman, and he's listing off all the insurance plans, and there's a dismemberment plan.
I haven't seen that band name.
Oh, really? Well, you should. It's a great movie. I'm listening to Change by Dismemberment Plan, especially Time Bomb. That is a particularly good song. Yeah, I guess it doesn't sound very cheery. Whatever.
Okay. The song I've been listening to recently, if I want to preface this by saying I really like the Arctic Monkeys. I think I discovered the Arctic Monkeys probably when their, like, most famous album was released. No, that's not true. Actually, I've been listening to the Arctic Monkeys for a little while, or just one song by them, and then they released this very, very popular album that became AM, that became extremely popular, and everybody listens to it, and that sort of became my favorite album by them. Eventually, I branched out and listened to more albums. My new favorite album by them is their second album. And anyway, so there are essentially two albums that I haven't listened to much. And sometimes when I have a playlist on shuffle on my phone, because Spotify doesn't like it that I don't pay for them, it'll just throw in songs that I didn't ask for. Which is, like, often really annoying, but it was really cool because I discovered this one song that I had never heard before on one of the albums that I didn't listen to. And, okay, so if you listen to the Arctic Monkeys on their later albums, songs are sort of more, the lyrics are very clear and concise, and he's often, it's sort of, like, sounds very cool, and it's about romance maybe or something, but on the earlier albums, like particularly the first album, he just like lets off in this torrent of words, and it's so amazing. Like, I love it.
Last night these two bouncers in one room's alright, the other one's a scary, and his way or no way, totalitarian, he's got no time for you, looking or breathing how he don't want you to, so step out the queue, he makes examples of you, and there's no way you can say, behind the go through to the bit where you play, and you realise then that it's finally the time, to walk back past 10,000 eyes in a line, and you can swap jumpers and make another move. It's still in your brain, you've got something to prove to all the smirking faces and the boys in black. Why can't they be pleasant? Why can't they have a laugh?
That song was called From the Ritz to the Rubble. Mm-hmm. It was by the Arctic Monkeys, and it was on their first album ever. Whatever You Think I Am, That's What I'm Not, I think. They had that. They had Favorite Worst Nightmare.
Right.
Which I think is my favorite. And then they had
There's Humbug. The albums?
Yeah.
Okay.
Humbug. Then, what was it? It was Suck It and See, and then AM.
Okay. And AM's the really popular one.
AM's the really popular
one. Is that the one that the song is from?
No, that song was from the very first album, where they're still sort of like doing a lot of talking.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah. The AM is like, you probably do. You do I want to know? That's like,
yeah, really you've probably popular. Seen the cover too.
Oh,
does it look familiar?
Yeah, it looks really familiar. Yeah,
this is great. All right, thank you, and tune into our next session, our next segment. Crawling back to you, crawling back to you.
We're here with Sydney Donaldson. She's a senior. She's in my class. And we're just going to talk about, you know, some fears of what's next after high school. Like, what are we afraid of and how we think we should cope with those fears.
Thank you so much for appearing on our show.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. So the first question we have for you is, what's your greatest fear about moving on from high school into college?
I think my biggest fear is just how permanent it is, how, like, when you leave high school, you can't really go back, that's the end, and it just scares me that, like, I don't know, I feel like once you leave, like, when, like, alumni come back, sort of, like, seniors who graduated last year, you're just kind of like, oh, like, hi, but I feel like they don't have, like, I don't know, they're not as, like,
really a part of it as
on
it
the
were.
Community anymore. Yeah, I mean,
I feel like, sorry to cut you off.
No, you're fine.
I feel like that's one of the things that I'm afraid of, too, because all our whole life, like, as when we were younger, we were always like, oh, I can't wait to get older. I can't wait to get older. But like, once we're at that stage now where we're, like, super independent, and, like, when you're in college, you're, like, basically on your own. Like, there's no family out there. Like, we finally reached that stage, and it's like, no, we want to stay now. Like, we want to be forever young. Like, we want to be high school forever. Mm-hmm. Like, that's one of the things I just always thought about.
Yeah, you kind of take for granted being home and having home-cooked meals. Yeah. And even, like, I don't know. I think what I'm scared of is just losing, like, the friendships I've made here. Yeah. Like, even, like, I just don't think it'll be the same when you come back from college.
Yeah, that's one of my, like, when I graduated from middle school, I went to a completely different high school than, like, everyone else. And I was like, I'm never going to talk to these, like, I'm never going to talk to my friends who I've known for, like, almost half my life already. Like, I'm never going to see them again. This is never going to be the same. And some of them I just knew ever since I was a kid, and I don't even talk to them anymore. Like, I was just so scared to graduate. I didn't even want to walk across, you know, the stage to get my diploma because I was just so afraid, like, I wasn't going to be able to make it without the people that I grew up with and I was with my whole entire life. And I was just, I didn't know what to do.
Yeah, that's, I grew up in the same school district my whole life. And when I transferred here sophomore year, the first year, sophomore year, I was able to, like, keep the connections with my friends I've had since I was in kindergarten. But when I see them now, I can't even, like, hold a conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, it's hard. I don't know. There's not much to talk to them about anymore, and I'm just scared of that happening with, like, the friends I've made here.
So it seems to me that both of you have encountered a graduation year that's stressful and kind of scary, and you've both encountered the tough prospect of having to move on. What do you think? Do you think this is different, or do you think it's just you are afraid of more of the same happening again?
Different from, like, leaving our old schools?
Yeah. What's really different about going to, like, college? What
it's
to you?
A whole different lifestyle. Like what Donovan said, living on your own. I mean, I am excited for it. I think it'll be, like, a change is nice, but it just, I don't want to have to leave behind, like, what I've started here.
I feel like the difference from when I was in middle school, now into high school, middle school, Like, even though I moved schools, like, I still lived in the same place. I still could go see them, like, if I had enough time to. It's just in high school, it's not, I didn't really have enough time to go see him. But, like, I could still see him. It was always that option to go see him. But, like, in college, I'm, like, everybody's just going to be so, like, spread out. Like, everybody is going to be in different states and, like, different places, like, far away. And that's just the scariest part about it. I know you, Emma, you've been to EA your whole life, and you kind of have, like, a different experience. Like, you literally grew up with the same people ever since you were, like, a kid. So how do you think you're going to be?
I'd be very scared if I was in your position, like, only knowing EA.
I don't know. It's funny because as much as I haven't ever really known anything else, I also feel like the fact that I've never had a change before would make me even more excited to get out and find somewhere new, because I've never had that. But do you think that technology and the change, like the increase of technology in recent years, has would make it easier for you to stay in touch with high school friends than middle school friends?
I don't know. I feel like it's still going to be hard. Because I still talk to some of the people, like I text them, but it's just not the same, the interactions.
You don't have as much to talk about, I feel like. I think with social media, it will be easier to stay in contact, and you can kind of see what your friends are doing. Yeah. But, I mean, even now with my friends from my old school, I don't, like, usually I don't text them or Snapchat them really as much as I used to.
Yeah.
There's not much to talk about.
Yeah.
You don't see them, like, you don't have that connection. You're not doing the same things that you were. It's like, it's nothing really funny to talk about anymore because you just aren't with them a lot.
Yeah.
It's not like something happened. It just, you fade away.
Yeah.
Do you think the reason you end up drifting apart from friends is because new schools or colleges expose you to more kids who are like you or have the same interests as you? Or do you think it's because the more time you spend at different schools, the fewer interests in common you end up having?
One of the main reasons why it's so hard, and it's not because you meet new people, because, like, you're going to meet new people everywhere you go. It's just the distance. Like, it's the same thing with keeping, like, up a hard, like, a long-distance relationship. It's going to be so hard because you don't see that person every day. You kind of, like, forget about them almost. Yeah. Even though, like, they've been a part of you for, like, 4 years, like, it's not like you're doing it on purpose. You just fade away because you're just around so much and, like, not being with them and, like, seeing other people. It's just hard to try to keep up with them. You know what I mean?
You kind of get distracted by all the things going on in your own life to, like, I feel like this sounds bad to say, like, to take the time to focus, on that relationship, but it's hard to do that with so many people. I see, like, being able to take the time for a couple friends, but, like, majority of your friends, it just doesn't. That's unrealistic.
Yeah.
And it's not like you're doing it on purpose. It just happens gradually over time. You just fade.
Yeah. Do you think the situation would be the same with sort of drifting apart from casual friends if you ended up going to the same college? I know a lot of EA students are going to sort of, there are a bunch of kids going to sort of the same schools, or like a few of the same schools. Do you think that they would end up staying in touch with the people from EA?
I think they'll have their bond of going to high school together, but, I mean, it depends on the personalities. If they have the same personalities and the same friend group, then,
I agree with Sydney. When you go to the same college, like, from high school, you still kind of know the person, but it's still going to be completely different because
it will
be school.
Nice to, like, have a familiar face, because
the schools are going to be much bigger than EA. Like, EA is not that big if you really think about it. The colleges that we're going to go to, it's just going to be all college students all day. And just there's going to be a lot of people when you get there, and it's still going to be hard to try to keep up unless you're like, really good friends or you play the same sport or something like that.
Yeah. So what are you guys most excited about for college?
I guess the chance to meet new people, I guess, or...
Yeah, definitely to meet new people and just have new experiences, like, in a new place. Get involved with, like, a new community will be exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess you could say the next stage of being more independent.
Yeah.
I know some people may feel that way. I know at the time, like, right now, I'm kind of like, But when I get there, who knows, I might really enjoy it.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you don't mind me asking, do you guys know where you're going to college?
No, not yet.
I do not yet. I think that's one of the big things, too. That's, like, I am very excited for college, and I'm excited for the change. But, like, the idea that in 6 months from now, I have no idea where I'm going to be, and my life is going to be completely different, like, freaks me out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's weird. I think that's what's, like, getting me the most. But I definitely think wherever I end up, I'll be happy. And I don't
find
know.
Your way.
Yeah, find my way.
Yeah. So, yeah, so you two are both seniors, so you're really coming to the end of everyone always calls it the college process, mm-hmm. but you're reaching the end of that. As a junior, I actually have my first, like, college meeting tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. So good luck.
Yeah. The very beginning. So we're both sort of talking this kind of on the eve of starting something, and I think, do you think the anticipation of going to college will be sort of scarier are you more afraid to about sort of the uncertainty of going to college or sort of the pressure that has been on you for a year, basically a year and a half to, you know, get good grades, get into college, take the standardized tests? Like,
feel like at EA there's that, or maybe, I mean, honestly, every school there's kind of the pressure of, like, the name your school has. I think that, you know what I mean, like,
yeah,
Ivy League, and, like, that has a big name here at EA, but I think wherever you end up, you should kind of make it your own. But the second, I think I'm just scared to lose the relationships that I have here at EA.
Yeah.
And I think just what scares me, too, is just the uncertainty of not knowing.
Tough. So what advice would the two of you have to give to people, or to, say, a junior?
Like, where you are beginning your process,
Definitely make sure you stay on top of your stuff. For me, I'm not really a procrastinator, but, like, I can always turn it on. If I feel like I'm getting behind, I can always just do a bunch of stuff at, like, one time, and I can have it turn out to be really good. But, like, some people aren't like that, so definitely have to keep up with your deadlines. Make sure you do all that Navion stuff junior year, because, like, I did it senior year.
Take advantage of your summer, I'd say, before senior year, with just getting your essay ready, trying to start apps if you can. I think another big thing that you should think about when you're looking at college is not to be influenced by your classmates. Mm-hmm. So, again, like what I was saying, EA has a lot of pressure of going to these, like, highly ranked schools, but you have to do, like, what's best for you and wherever you think you will succeed and be happy.
Yeah, definitely. Another thing that's really important is don't stress out about it. Like, it's not, like, this stage of our life, if we think about it, how we're going to live on for a good amount of time, it's not really that, like, it's not that deep. We go to EA, you're going to get into a good school, you're going to get into a great college, and if you don't, make the best of your opportunity. That's what life is about anyway. Like, don't stress. Like, my dad, he's always trying to – my dad and my aunt, they have two completely different personalities than I have. I'm very laid back. I don't really talk about a lot of things. I just do a lot of things. My dad, he's just super uptight, and he's just always trying to – like, he's just always, like – why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you showing me this? And my aunt is just likes to be very punctual about everything. And I'm not like that as a person. Like, I'm always going to be laid back about things. Don't let your parents, like, just, like...
Yeah, this process is about you.
It's about you. It's not about them. It's not about what they want. Just because they like a school don't mean you like a school. I mean, obviously, sometimes you're going to have to apply places to make your parents happy. But do the things that you – do the colleges that you want to go to first.
One more thing. I just say make sure – like, yes, you're going through the stressful process, but so is everyone. So don't, like – don't try to, like, keep – not complaining, but, like, it's hard. Everyone's going through it, so don't – you don't need to – I don't know how to say that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everyone – is experiencing it, so don't act like you're the only, or, like, don't feel like you're the only one.
Everybody has.
Don't, like, complaining about it is just kind of like.
Yeah, I got you. Like,
I don't know how to say that.
Don't think you're the only person with the problem that you're having. Everybody is experiencing the same problem you are. Everybody's scared. I mean, there is some people who are born into, you know, going to grade schools or, you know, all of that good stuff. But, like, a lot of people are, they don't know, just like you. They might have an idea, or they might not. You just enjoy the process. Don't.
Yeah, really, don't, like, take in all options. Yeah. Don't limit yourself to one type of school or, like, think you have to do something. Like, really explore everything that there is to offer.
Yeah. Like, on that note, sort of, you guys touched on this earlier about how there can often be a lot of pressure to apply to a certain school or appear a certain way. Do you think that there's ever the sense that you have to sort of compete with your peers or sort of?
That's funny, actually. So as a senior, you have colleges come and visit, and they kind of just talk to you, and you can sign up for those on Naviance. And I just kind of remember the first college one I went to. I sat down in the boardroom where the meeting was, and I just looked around and thought, like, these are the kids I'm competing with to get into the school. But that's not how you should look at it. You just kind of, you should think, like, you're going to do the best you can. But that is, like, a thought that has gone through my head.
Yeah. I know this is something that my sister-in-law told me. She said that when she was applying to college, which was, like, a while, because, you know, my older brother is older, so mm-hmm. it was, like, I don't know, like, 8 years ago, maybe? No, more than that. It was, like, maybe, like, a decade ago when she was applying to college. But she said that she didn't actually tell anyone, even her friends.
That's, I had no idea when my best friends ED'd to Penn, and that's where she got in. A bunch of my friends that did ED, I had no idea because I was happy that my friend did it this way, that we didn't really talk about it or tell each other.
Yeah.
I guess it's just personal. So, like, finding out, the first friend that told me she got into college, I lost. I was actually at lunch with my parents, and I saw on my phone that she got into college, and I ran to the bathroom, started bawling, crying. Because it just, like, became such a reality that we weren't going to be together next year, but, like, it's also happy tears. So, I don't know. It's an exciting process.
Yeah. Exciting thing. Awesome. Anything else to add?
My sister, my, like, stepsister, she, this is a very important thing. I probably won't ever forget it. She graduated, like, top of her class, like, all that good stuff. She is really smart. She worked really hard for everything that she has, she's received. She's worked really hard. And one thing I asked her when she graduated, I came super late to her graduation, and I was like, is it, like, how people, like, say it's going to be? Like, and she was just like, well, college is just how you make of it. It's basically, if you go there and you, like, this is a life lesson. It's not even, like, a college lesson. It's a life lesson. Mm-hmm. Like, everything is what you make of it. If you work really hard and you work hard for the things that you want, you're going to get it because you work harder than anybody else. And nobody, and if you don't, like, nobody can take that from you. Like, you worked hard. You put everything you had into everything. Then, like, that's satisfying to, like, know you worked hard for something and you get it. But if you go around life or in college and you just be lazy and you don't do your work, then it's going to be hard for you. That's all I have to say.
Dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. That was fun.
Awesome. Tune in for the next podcast. She thinks that I sound funny, but she likes the way you sing. Tonight I'll dream while I'm in bed when silly thoughts go through my head. The bugs and alphabet. When I wake tomorrow, I'll bet that you and I will walk together again. I can